نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، then to continue with Sharh al-Sunnah of Imam al-Barbahari rahimahullah, then last time we had points number 108 and 109. And just to mention some of the points that we had, then we had the point that the original Jama'ah, the original united body of the Muslims upon the truth, the companions radiallahu anhum, in the time of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman radiallahu anhum, there was no disagreement in this Jama'ah, and it was united, no disagreements, and it was united and agreed upon the truth. And then when Uthman radiallahu anhu was murdered, then at that point splitting started to occur and sects started to appear. And Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he made the point that this came about, the murder of Uthman radiallahu anhu came about as a result of the corruption caused by Abdullah ibn Sabah, the Yemeni Jew who founded the religion of the Rafidah, pretended to be a Muslim, manifested Islam outwardly, but inwardly remained upon what he was upon, and caused corruption, went around causing corruption, came to Al-Madinah, manifesting Islam, and causing trouble amongst the people, whispering against Uthman radiallahu anhu, and spreading things against him, spreading fabrications and lies against him, and causing trouble and corruption. So when it was realized what he was doing, then he was expelled, and he went off to Egypt and did the same thing. Went around finding groups of corrupt individuals, and eventually they gathered, and eventually they came together at the time of Hajj, and they surrounded Uthman radiallahu anhu in his house, and then eventually they murdered him. They killed Uthman radiallahu anhu. So then, from that time onwards, splitting and differences occurred. The Jama'ah upon the truth remained upon the truth, but within the Muslims there were those, within the Muslim nation, were those who split away and separated and differed and so on and so forth. So Shaykh al-Fawzan made the point that when splitting occurs, then we do what Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enjoined us to do, to remain upon his sunnah and upon the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa, and to remain upon that which the sect which is promised salvation are upon, those who are upon the light of what Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions were upon, they remain upon that and adhere to that. We also had the point that whoever calls to innovation, then he is just the same as the person who introduced that innovation. And who calls other people to an innovation, he's the same one. He can't get away with the excuse that I didn't invent it, so I inherited it from somebody before. The right one who calls to an innovation is just the same as the one who introduced it even before him. And we had the point that Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, that one who promotes innovation in this nation, one who calls the people away from the sunnah and promotes innovation, then he is more harmful to this nation than Iblis. More harmful than Iblis. And Shaykh al-Fawzan explained, because Iblis, Shaytan, everyone knows that he is a clear enemy. Our Lord has warned us clearly against him, so we know Iblis is our enemy. Whereas a person who is upon innovation, calling to innovation, what he manifests is Islam. And what he calls to, he claims to take something good. And he manages to fool people. This is correct Islam, his innovation. So therefore people are fooled by it. More so than the open enemy, Iblis. And Shaykh al-Fawzan said, like, just the same as the case of the hypocrites in this nation, the munafiqun, they are more dangerous send a clear and open disbelievers. Clear and open disbelievers, the kuffar, everybody knows that they are kuffar disbelievers, enemies. But the hypocrites who work from within to undermine this nation are more dangerous. So likewise, the person of innovation who calls to innovation is more dangerous than the open enemy, Iblis. And Sheikh Bazan mentioned the point that what is upon us is therefore to remain with the Jama'ah, the united body of the Muslims, upon that which Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is upon, and his companions. And that to attain this requires two things. To be upon that Jama'ah, upon the truth, requires two things. Firstly, it requires al-ilm, knowledge, correct knowledge of what Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is upon and his companions. You won't be upon it if you don't know what they were upon, then how can you be upon it? If you do not have correct knowledge of what Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions were upon, then how can you be upon it? So the first requirement is correct and sound knowledge. And the second requirement, when that's attained, is patience upon remaining firm upon that. Indeed, that requires patience. As Sheikh Bazan mentioned, towards the end of time, that adhering to it will be like holding on to a hot burning coal. So no doubt it requires patience. Now before continuing, just to mention something that I missed out in the translation last week. Just one line that we had, that which occurred on page 68 of point 109. وَمَنْ عَرَفَ مَا تَرَكَ أَصْحَابُ الْبِدَعِ مِنَ السُّنَّةِ وَمَا فَارَكُوا فِيهِ فَتَمَسَّكَ بِهِ, to the end. And whoever recognizes what the people of innovations have abandoned from the Sunnah. And then the missing part, which I didn't translate, and that which they have split away from. وَمَا فَارَكُوا فِيهِ, or in another wording, وَمَا فَارَكُوا مِنْهَا. So whoever recognizes that which the people of innovations have abandoned from the Sunnah, and that which they have split away from, or that which they have split away regarding, and he clings to it. What they have left from the Sunnah and split away from, that he, the person of the Sunnah, he adheres and clings to that. To the end, and the rest was translated. As for the continuation, then point number 110, that which Sheikh Al-Fawzan, or rather that which occurs here in this edition on page 70 of the second volume, point number 110, the saying of Imam Al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, وَأَلَمْ أن أصول البدع أربعة أبواب يتشعب من هذه الأربعة 72 هوى ثم يصير كل واحد من البدع يتشعب حتى تصير كلها إلى 2800 كلها ضلالة وكلها في النار إلا واحدة وهو من آمن بما في هذا الكتاب واعتقده من غير ريبة في قلبه ولا شكوك فهو صاحب سنة وهو الناجي إن شاء الله. He's saying, rahimahullah, and know that the roots of the innovations are four. The roots or the foundations, the original sources of the innovations. And know that the roots of the innovations are four. From these, 72 innovated sects branched off. And then each one of these innovations itself has offshoots until they amount to 2,800. All of them are misguidance. And all of them will be in the fire, except for one, which is those who believe in what is contained in this book, and who holds it as his creed, without having any uncertainty in his heart, or any doubts. He will be a person of the Sunnah, and he is the one who will be saved, if Allah wills. Just a very small side point here, in the wording we have here, wa'lam anna usul al-bid'ah, and know that the roots of the innovations are Arba'atu Abwab, are four. In some of the versions, it has the wording wa'lamu in the plural. Rahimakumullah. Anna usulan bid'ah. And you should know in the plural. Rahimakumullah. May Allah have mercy upon you. In that version, it mentions a supplication for the people. May Allah have mercy upon you. And know in the plural. May Allah have mercy upon you. That the roots of innovation are for. As for the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, then he said, he's saying, وَأَعْلَمْ أَنَّ أَصُولَ الْبِدَعِ أَرْبَعَةُ أَبْوَابِ, and know that the roots of the innovations are four. He said, al-bid'a, innovations, is the plural of bid'a, innovation. And what is meant by it is that which has been newly introduced into the religion without a proof from the book or the sunnah. And that is in accordance with his saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu, fahuwa rad. In accordance with the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever newly introduces into this affair of ours that which is not from it, then it will be rejected. And in one narration, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدْ. Whoever does an action which our affair is not in accordance with, then it is rejected. And I mentioned in the footnote, this hadith is preceded last time, it's preceded a number of times, the hadith reported by Bukhari and Muslim as a hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan quotes the second evidence. He said, and in the other hadith, عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي تَمَسَّكُوا بِهَا وَعَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. وفي رواية, in one narration, وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. He said, and in the other hadith, it occurs, adhere to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided orthodox khulafa, caliphs after me. Cling on to it and bite upon it with the molar teeth, and beware of newly introduced affairs, for every newly introduced affair is an innovation, and every innovation is misguidance. And in one narration, and every misguidance is in the fire. Again, this hadith is a hadith preceded many times, hadith reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, and by Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah, from the famous hadith of Aqair Rabad ibn Sariyah radiallahu anhu. And that last wording, وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ, occurs in a hadith reported by An-Nasai. It's a hadith of Jabir رضي الله عنه. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, so al-bid'ah, innovation, is that which does not have a proof from the book or the sunnah. From those things whose people claim will draw them closer to Allah, from acts of worship and sayings and actions. So just repeat that. And he said, the innovation of bid'ah is that which does not have a proof from the book and the sunnah, from those things which their proponents, their people, claim will draw them closer to Allah, from acts of worship and sayings and actions. And then he said, mentioning an important point, and the innovation may be, and he mentions a very important classification here, the classification of innovation into its two categories, two kinds of innovation. So he said, and the innovation may be, firstly, asliya, nibid'atun asliya, a fundamental innovation, then he defines that. Bid'atun asliyyah, a fundamental innovation, such that it was newly introduced, even in its very basis. So there is no basis at all for it in the religion. And what the Shaykh is indicating here, meaning it's an act that is not an act of worship legislated at all in the Book and the Sunnah. It's a newly introduced act. It doesn't occur in the Book and the Sunnah as an act of worship. Something new. The whole thing is new. The action in its very basis is not worship, not legislated. So to introduce that, that's called bid'atun asliyyah. A fundamental innovation. That thing itself is not legislated. Then he mentions the second category of innovation, which is far more common. He said, and it may be idafiyya, subsidiary innovation. And then he defines that. And that is that the action itself does have a basis in something legislated. However, something not legislated has been added to it. In that act of worship there, in origin, it is a legislated act of worship. But something's been added to it that causes it to be an innovation. And then he gives an example. He said, for example, that a time has been specified for a dhikr, for some certain words of remembrance of Allah. A certain time has been specified for it, without any proof for that specification. Or a form of dhikr, a form of remembrance of Allah, for which there is no proof. Or a number of times for that dhikr, those words of remembrance, which has no proof. Or a fast, for which there is no proof. Just to mention again, that the first kind of innovation is that bid'atun asliyyah, and something that is not an act of worship, not legislated. Just as a side point, some of the scholars like Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah give an example, like for example standing in the hot sun, standing bareheaded in the hot sun, and thinking that that will draw you closer to Allah. This is not legislated worship at all. So it's bid'atun asliyyah. The act itself is not worship. In its very origin, it's an innovation. So that's bid'atun asliyyah. The actual act is a total innovation. Then the second kind that the people of knowledge mention is far more common. Bid'atun idafiyyah. So the act itself is something legislated. Fasting or dhikr, remembrance of Allah. These are legislated acts of worship. But they are done in a certain way that is not legislated. For example, as the Shaykh mentioned, the dhikr is mentioned as being at a certain time. And that certain time, it does not occur with no proof. A certain time is innovated. Do it at this time here. And that's not that time is not legislated for it. Or a certain form, this wording here. And that form is not legislated. Does not occur in the Book of the Sunnah. Or do it this many times. Dhikr is legislated, but doing it this many certain number of times, that is not legislated. Or a fast, at a time when it's not legislated to specifically to fast. And that will be bid'atun idafiyyah. The act of worship in itself is legislated, but the form or manner in which it's done is an innovation. And moving on, Shaykh Fawzan said, and all innovations, whether they are subsidiary, idafiyyah, or fundamental, asliyyah, there is no good in them. No matter which category they come, out of these two categories, there's no good in them. So they take a person further away from Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And their people have resemblance to the Christians, those who newly introduced ar-Rahbaniyyah, monasticism, in withdrawing themselves from this world, going up into a monastery, and locking themselves off from the world, and worshipping themselves, worshipping them in that manner. Monasticism. She has said people, these people, people in innovations, they have a resemblance to the Christians, those who introduced monasticism. He the Most High said, فَرَحْبَانِيَّةً اِبْتَدَعُوهَا مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمْ. First part of the ayah from Surah Al-Hadid, 57th Surah, ayah 27, the explanation. And monasticism, behaving as monks, they innovated it. We did not obligate it upon them. Sheikh Fawzan said, monasticism is an innovation. Allah did not legislate it for them. However, they themselves did it in order to draw closer to Allah. And he quotes the next part of the ayah in proof of that. إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ. Surah Al-Hadid, the same ayah, Surah Al-Hadid, 57th Surah, ayah 27. It was not prescribed for them. Rather, they only did it seeking the pleasure of Allah. That was their excuse. Sheikh Fawzan said, this was their intent, that they were seeking the pleasure of Allah. However, with something other than what Allah legislated. So it will not be accepted. And therefore he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ. Same hadith again. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, whoever introduces into this affair of ours that which is not from it, then it will be rejected. Again, the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. Sheikh Fawzan said, when it says رَدْ, meaning مَرْدُودٌ عَلَيْهِ, it will be rejected, thrown back upon him, rejected, not accepted. So the person who does it shall have just wearied himself, just tired himself out, and gained misguidance, and he will not receive any reward for his action. And we ask Allah for safety and security. And he said, and what the author meant here by his saying, أن أصول البدع أربعة أبواب, that the roots of innovation are four, he said, what is apparent, and Allah knows best, is that he intends the roots of the innovated sects, which the Prophet ﷺ informed about, that they were going to come about. In his saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, سَتَفْتَرِقُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةُ عَلَىٰ 73 فِرْقَةٍ كُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا وَاحِدَةٍ قَالُوا مَنْ هِيَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَالْ مَنْ كَانَ عَلَىٰ مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ الْيَوْمِ وَأَصْحَابِي. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this nation will split into 73 sects. All of them will be in the fire, except for one. So they said, who are they, O Messenger of Allah? He said, those who are upon that which I and my companions are upon today. The hadith, as I mentioned, which has preceded a number of times. Hadith reported by Tirmidhi and others and declared Hassan by Sheikh Al-Albani. Sheikh Fawzan said, this is al-firqatu al-najiyah. This is the saved sect that has remained upon the sunnah. Just as he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيْرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, whoever lives long amongst you will see very great difference. So therefore adhere to my sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa. Hadith, again the hadith of Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah radiallahu anhu, put by Ahmad, Abu Dawud, Ibn Majah and others, said Sahih by Shaykh al-Alban. Shaykh Fawzan said, so he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed that this nation will split just as the previous nations, the Jews and the Christians, split before it. And this information was given as a warning and as an encouragement upon adherence to the Sunnah. When this occurred, and that there will be no salvation without the Sunnah, and that whoever abandons the Sunnah and comes to be with the sects, then he will be in the fire. So the sects which have appeared are very many. However, their roots are four innovated sects. The number of innovated sects that have appeared are very many in number. However, in their origin, they amount to four. In their roots and their origins, there were four in number. And then the remainder of this section, Sheikh Bozan, he goes on to explain who they are. So he begins with the first of these major four. He said the first sect is the sect of the Shia. The sect is the sect of the Shia. And it first came about with the murder of Uthman radiallahu anhu, when Abdullah ibn Sabah, the Jew, came and he brought about fitna, discord amongst the Muslims. And he called to tashayyu, partisanship in favour of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and said that he was the wasi. Abdullah ibn Sabah said that he, that Ali, he was the stated successor after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the wasi, in one about whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had left direct instructions that he was to take over after him. He was to be the Khalifa afterwards, that's what the Shia claimed. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his lifetime, he directly stated that Ali was to take over after. So he claimed, he called, as the Sheikh said, he called this man Abdullah ibn Sabah to partisanship in favour of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and that he was the stated successor after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that the companions had oppressed him, had oppressed Ali, and they had seized the Khilafah from him. So from that time, at Tashayyu, Shi'ism appeared. And the scholars mention that the Shia are many sects. The Shia are many sects. They've split into many sects. And then Sheikh Bozan, he goes on to mention two of the sects. Rather, he goes on to mention four of the sects of the Shia. He said, the first of the sects of the Shia are Al-Mufaddila, those who showed preference. Al-Mufaddila, she said, those who held that Ali had extra virtue over other than him from the companions, even over Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman. They are called Al-Mufaddila, those who give preference to Ali radiallahu anhu, those who hold that he had extra fadl, extra virtue over the other companions. They are the ones who are called Al-Mufaddila, the ones who showed preference. However, they did not accuse the Khilafah of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman. Rather, they just said that Ali was more excellent. Then Sheikh Bozan said, and this is an error, this is a mistake. Even this much, to say that Ali had extra excellence over those three, this is a mistake, it's an error. So Ali was the fourth of the rightly guided Khulafa. He was not more excellent than Abu Bakr and Umar, even to the extent that he himself, Ali radiallahu anhu, he criticized those people who preferred him over Abu Bakr and Umar. And he threatened whoever said that with punishment. Then Shaykh Ghazan mentions the second sect, the second sect from the Shia. This first major sect, second of the sects of the Shia. He said the second sect are those who say that Ali was the wasi, the stated successor of the messenger, and that he was the one who had the most right to the khilafah, in the khalifa, and that the khilafah of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman was injustice and something which they wrongfully seized. They say that the khilafah was for Ali, and that he was the stated successor after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that the companions oppressed him and wrongfully seized the khilafah, the caliphate, from him, along with many points of misguidance which they have. And he mentions a third sect from the Shia. He said the third sect are Ash-Shi'atul Ghulat, the extreme Shia, those who say that messengership should have been for Ali. However, Jibreel acted treacherously and gave it instead to Muhammad. However, messengership in origin should have been for Ali. They say, خان الأمين وصدها عن حيدرة. They say this third sect, these extreme Shia, they say that Jibreel, or the trustworthy one, meaning Jibreel alayhi salam, the trustworthy one, acted treacherously and withheld it from Haydar. Shaykh Fawzan said, what is meant by here, al-Amin, the trustworthy one, is Jibreel alayhi salam. That he gave the messengership to Muhammad and withheld it from Haydar, who is Ali. This is what they say, the one they call Haydar, is Haydara, Haydar, is Ali radiallahu anhu. So this is the third sect of the Shia, the extreme ones who say that the messengership shouldn't have been for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It should have been, it was supposed to be for Ali. But Jibreel, who was supposed to bring it down to Ali and make him the messenger of Allah, he brought it down and betrayed his trust and gave it to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instead. Then Shaykh Fawzan mentions the fourth sect of the Shia. He said the fourth sect are even worse than them. They say that Ali is an ilah, a god, one who should be worshipped. And they are the ones whom Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu himself burnt with fire. He dug trenches for them and set fire blazing in them and threw them into it whilst they were alive. And it is related from him that he said, لَمَّا رَأَيْتُ الْأَمْرَ أَمْرًا مُنْكَرًا أَجَّجْتُ نَارِي وَدَعَوْتُ قَنْبَرًا. This line of poetry, and they mention a footnote, the reference for this, it's reported by Ibn al-A'rabi in his Mu'jam, and al-Ajurri in al-Sharia, and Ibn Abdul Barr in his book al-Tamheed, and Ibn al-Sakir in Tariq Dimashq, and others besides. That Ali radiallahu anhu, he did this, he had trenches dug. When these people, as I mentioned in the reports, when Ali radiallahu anhu came, or rather when they came to Ali, and they said, Anta who? You are he. They said, who is he? They said, you are the one who is to be worshipped. So then he had trenches dug, he called his servant Qanbar, and ordered him to light fires, so he lit fires and he threw them. When they refused to repent, he had them thrown into the fire. So as the Shaykh said, and Qanbar was his servant, his khadim, his servant. So he burnt them with fire when they said to him, you are he. Anta huwa, you are he, you are he. And Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, he held the obligation of killing them, but with the sword, and that they should not be burnt with fire. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, لا يؤذب بالنار إلا رب النار. None should punish with the fire except the Lord of the fire. So he, meaning Ibn Abbas, he did not object to their being killed. Rather, he just said, I hold that they should be killed with the sword instead of with fire. In a footnote, they mention that this narration is reported by al-Bukhari in his Sahih. And you'll find it there in two places. Contrary to the references I mentioned here, you'll find it as Hadith number 3017 and Hadith 6922 from Ikrimah, that he said some heretics were brought to Ali radiallahu anhu, so he burnt them alive. So when that news reached Ibn Abbas, he said, if it had been me, I would not have burnt them alive, because of the prohibition of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تعذبوا بعذاب الله, do not punish with the punishment of Allah. But I would have killed them, because of the saying of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من بدل دينه فاقتلوه, whoever changes his religion, then kill him. And then they mention also, this all being in the footnote, as for the hadith with the wording لا يعذبوا بالنار إلا رب النار, no one should punish with fire except for the Lord of the fire. And they mention this is reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad and by Abu Dawood in his Sunan. And this was declared sahih, authentic, by Shaykh al-Albani. And again, as a side point, in addition to what occurs here, in some of the narrations alluded to here, that when these people said to Ali, that you are he, and when he said, who is he? You are the one who is to be worshipped. You are Allah, the one who deserves to be worshipped. So when they wouldn't repent, he burnt them with the fire. And some of the wordings it mentions, that when they were thrown into the fire, that they said, and now we are even more certain, because no one punishes with the fire except the Lord of the fire. So now that you're putting us in the fire, that we are even more certain that you are the one who deserves to be worshipped. Allahumma musta'an. Nas'allahu al-afiyah. Then the Shaykh said, back to what Shaykh Fawzan said, he mentioned the hadith. None should punish with the fire except the Lord of the fire. Ibn Abbas, when he heard about it, he said that he held that it was obligatory that they should be killed with the sword and not burnt with fire, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, none should punish with fire except for the Lord of the fire. So he did not object to killing them, but rather he just said, I hold that they should be killed with the sword instead of with fire. Then Shaykh Bazan said, and from these sects of the Shia, many sects sprang up and branched off. And from these four different sects of the Shia, many others then branched off and grew in number. Then Shaykh Fawzan mentions the second of the four major sects, the first one there being the Shia with their four branches. He said the second sect, now second overall sect, the Shia being dealt with, now the second sect, Firqat al-Qadariyya, the sect of the Qadariyya, the Qadaris, those who deny al-Qadr, those who deny pre-decree. And it appeared at the end of the time of the companions. And they are of two types, the Qadariyya, of two types. Firstly, Qadariyya Jabariyya. The Qadariyya, who are actually Jabariyya, more well known as the Jabariyya, those who say that mankind is compelled. They go to extremes in affirming pre-decree. And the second category of the Qadariyya are the Qadariyya Nufat, the Qadariyya who are deniers, those who denied pre-decree. And they are the Mu'tazila. The deniers, the Qadariyya Nufat, the deniers of pre-decree, they are the Mu'tazila. And whoever proceeded upon their path, those who say that a servant creates his own actions, and that Allah does not create the actions of the servants. Rather, they themselves create them. Whereas their opponents, the Jabariya, they say, a person's action is actually just the action of Allah. And whatever action a person does, it is not really his action. It's actually Allah's action. And that the people are compelled to say whatever they say and whatever they do. And they have no free will. No ikhtiyar, no choice, no free will. That's the first category of the Qadariya, the Qadariya Jabariya. Those who say man has no choice of free will. Whereas the Mu'tazila, the second category, they say that people have independent free will, total free will, independent free will, total free will, independent of the will of Allah. The Shaykh said, so therefore, if the term al-Qadariya is used unrestrictedly, then it is used to apply to the Mu'tazila and to those people who deny pre-decree. For indeed, they deny pre-decree. Normally, when you see the term Qadariya and the sect referred to the Qadariya, it means the deniers of pre-decree, the second of those two sects. Whereas the others, the second one, the Jabariya, or the first one of the two, the Jabariya, they affirm pre-decree and they go to extremes with regard to it, to the extent that they say a person is compelled. So those people deny pre-decree, and these ones, they go to extreme in affirming it. And they are all called, or the term is used for all of them, Al-Qadariya. And they branched off into many sects. Then Sheikh Bazan mentions the third major sect. Having dealt with the Shia, now the second one, the Qadariya, the deniers and the Jabariya, now the third sect. He said, the third sect is the sect of the Khawarij, those who rebel against the Muslim ruler and break the unity of obedience, and who declare people to be disbelievers on account of major sins, which are less than shirk, and they declare the blood of the Muslims to be lawful to shed. And they are people of ghulu, excessiveness and extremism in the religion. They have religion, and they have worship, and they have fear of Allah. They fast, stand in prayer, and recite the Quran. However, they do it upon other than fiqh. They do it upon other than having correct understanding of the religion. And upon other than insight, and therefore they went astray and what was refuges sought, and they broke the unified obedience, and they rebelled against the chief of the believers, Ali ibn Abi Talib, and he fought battles against them, and Allah aided him against them, and they have continued to appear and revolt. They have continued to rebel against the Muslim. And they said they have continued to rebel against those in authority and declaring the blood of the Muslims to be lawful to shed and declaring people to be disbelievers on account of major sins which are less than shirk. And they are called, these Khawarij, they are called Al-Wa'idiyya, those people who enforce the textual threats, because they enforce the ayahs which mention a threat without making any distinction between major sins that are shirk and kufr and major sins that are just acts of disobedience. They hold that all of their people are disbelievers in their view. I mean, those who commit shirk or kufr, disbelievers. Those who commit sins which are less than that, major sins which are less than shirk or kufr, still in their view, disbelievers. And they do not suffice with declaring them as disbelievers. Rather, they declare their blood as lawful to be shed. And they fight against the Muslims but they do not fight against the disbelievers, the kuffar. And therefore the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in description of them, يَقْتُلُونَ أَهْلَ الْإِسْلَامِ وَيَدَعُونَ أَهْلَ الْأَوْثَامِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about these khawarij, they kill the people of Islam and they leave alone the worshippers of idols. They leave alone the people of the idols. In a footnote they mention this hadith reported by Bukhari. You'll find it there as hadith number 3344. And reported by Muslim as hadith 1064 from a hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. Then Sheikh Bazan said, so it has not been mentioned that the Khawarij ever fought against the disbelievers. Rather, they only fight against the Muslims. And they are a number of sects, some of them being more severe than others. Then Sheikh Bazan goes on to mention the fourth and the last sect, and said, the fourth sect is that which is opposite to the sect of the Khawarij. And they are the Murji'a. The Murji'a. Those who deny that actions enter into Iman. They say, action does not enter into Iman. So a person is a mu'min, a full believer, even if he does not act. Even if he leaves off all actions, then he is a mu'min, a full believer. They are called Murji'a from the word al-irja, to put off, which means to put back, because they put actions outside that which carries the name of Iman, and they are a number of sects. And Sheikh Wazan goes on to mention the four main sects of the Murji'a. He said, firstly, the worst of them are the Jahmiyyah, those who say that Iman is merely awareness, having ma'rifah, having awareness in the heart. So if a person has awareness in his heart, then he is a mu'min, a full believer, even if he does not hold it as his creed and belief. I mean, a person just has it in his heart, he's got some awareness that he has a creator, that's it, he's a full believer, even if he doesn't hold it as his creed and his belief. It's just some awareness in the heart. The second category of the Murji'a, the Sheikh said, the second category of the Murji'a are the Asha'ira, the Ash'aris, those who say that Iman is belief in the heart, and that speech of the tongue does not enter into it, nor action of the limbs. It's sufficient that a person has belief in his heart alone. Then he mentions the third. He said the third category, the third sect of the Murji'a, Adi Karamiya, those who say that Iman is just utterance upon the tongue, even if he does not believe in his heart. And a person says testification of faith upon his tongue, even if he doesn't believe it in his heart, that is Iman, just what's upon the tongue. And then he mentions the fourth category of the Murji'a, he said, the fourth category, the fourth sect, he said, are Murji'atul Fuqaha, the Murji'a of the jurists, those who say that Iman is belief in the heart, along with utterance of the tongue, even if he does not act. Then Sheikh Fawzan mentions the common factor between all of these four sects. He said, all of them agree that action does not enter into Iman, but then they differ, having different positions about actions of the heart and speech of the tongue. Then he said, so the Khawarij, they went beyond bounds in entering action into the reality of Iman. And they said, whoever leaves off action becomes a disbeliever, unrestrictedly. Whereas the Murji'a, meaning ones at the opposite extreme, the Murji'a, they were opposite to that. They went beyond bounds in banishing action from the reality of Iman, and said, a person does not become a disbeliever, even if he leaves off all action without restriction. And then Sheikh Fawzan said, as for the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah, and all praises for Allah, and Allah guided them to the truth. Just as He, the Most High, said, فَهَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَا اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الْحَقِّ بِإِذْنِهِ وَاللَّهُ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Surah Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 213, with the explanation. So Allah guided those who truly believe with regard to that which they differed about from the truth by His permission. And Allah guides whomever He wishes to the straight path. Sheikh Bazan said, so they say, the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah, they say, Iman, true faith, is speech upon the tongue, and belief in the heart, and action upon the limbs. It increases through acts of obedience, and it decreases through sin. However, it does not pass away entirely if an action is missed, unrestrictedly. I mean, we don't say unrestrictedly that it passes away entirely if action passes away, without making restriction, as is said by the Khawarij. Nor do they say that it will remain if all action is missed out, as is said by the Murji'ah. Rather, there are some actions whose abandonment is kufr, disbelief, such as abandoning the prayer. And there are some actions which abandonment of them is a kabira, a major sin, from the major sins, but does not necessitate disbelief. So this is the detailed explanation which the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are upon, and all praises for Allah. And it gathers between the ayahs of promise, which the Murji'ah cling to, and the ayahs of the threat, which the Khawarij cling to. So the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah, gather the ayahs of the promises and of the ayahs of the threats, and they explain them with each other, and they restrict some with others, and they refer that which is not immediately clear to that which is decisive and clarifying, and they act upon all of them. And they say, آمنا به كل من عند ربنا. Surah Al-Imran, the third surah, ayah 7, with explanation. We truly believe in it, all of it is from our Lord. Then Sheikh Bazan summarizes and says, these are the sects from which many other sects branched off. And whoever wishes to study that, let him refer back to the books of the sects, such as Al-Milal wa-Nihab of Al-Shahristani, and such as the book Al-Farq bayn al-Farq of Al-Baghdadi, and the book Maqalat al-Islamiyin wa-Ikhtilaf al-Musallin of Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, and Al-Fisal fil-Milal wal-Ahwa'i wa-Nahr of Ibn Hazm. For they mention these sects and their branches and their subsects. However, I do not love that the beginning student of knowledge should enter into these differences, so that his thinking does not become disturbed. However, a scholar who is firmly grounded, there is no harm in his studying it. And he said, he's saying, وَكُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا وَاحِدًا, and all of them will be in the fire except one. Sheikh Bazan said, all of them, along with their branches, will be in the fire, because they followed desires, and they abandoned that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions were upon, which is salvation. However, their being in the fire does not necessitate that they are all disbelievers. So the fire will be entered by the sinner, the disobedient person, even if he does not become a disbeliever. He will enter it for a temporary period and then come out from the fire. And as for those whose splitting away is something which renders him a disbeliever, then he will remain forever in the fire of hell. He said, he's saying, وَهُوَ مَنْ آمَنَ بِمَا فِي هَذَا الْكِتَابِ وَأَتَقَدَهُ مِنْ غَيْرِ رِيبَةٍ فِي قَلْبِهِ وَلَا شُكُوكٍ. He said in the paragraph before the last, and it, salvation, it, that which will be saved, it or other. He is the one who believes in what is contained in this book, and who holds it as his creed, not having any uncertainty in his heart, nor any doubts. Sheikh Razan said, this book, which is Sharh Asul, which is Sharh As-Sunnah of Al-Barbahari, it is just a clarification of what occurs in the book and the Sunnah, and a mention of the fundamentals of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah. So this book is just, as he entitled it, an explanation of the fundamentals of the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah. And it is derived from the book and the Sunnah and what the Salaf of this nation were upon. Without any uncertainty in his heart, the Shaykh said, as for a person who manifests Iman outwardly in the fundamentals, but he actually has misgivings in his heart or doubt in his heart, then he will not be a believer. He will be a doubter, and Allah's refuge is sought. One who is hesitant, and he will be from the people of hypocrisy. So it is essential that he must believe in his heart what he says upon his tongue from the truth. So he, rahimahullah, does not intend self-praise, tazkiyah, for his own book. I mean, in this statement here, he's not intending just self-praise for his own book, as is thought by some people. Rather, he intended praise for what is contained within it, from the fundamentals of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Then he said in the final brief paragraph, he's saying, فَهُوَ صَاحِبُ السُنَّةِ وَهُوَ النَّاجِي إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ. Then he will be the person of the Sunnah, and he is the one who will be saved, if Allah wills. Shaykh said, whoever follows the book and the Sunnah, having yaqeen, certainty, and true faith in his heart, then he is from the saved sect. Because the saying of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam applies to him. When he was asked about the saved sect, and he said, whoever is upon that which I and my companions are upon. And in one narration, whoever is upon the like of what I and my companions are upon today. الحمد لله وصلى الله على محمد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت